Good morning, everyone. So what we'll be covering today is deploying highly available SharePoint internet sites on Windows Virtual Machines, or which we also call as IaaS. What we'll be also covering is how do you have two different Azure data centers and can do a GDPR between them. So before we start, let me introduce myself. I'm Sanjay Naran. I'm from Microsoft Consulting Services India. And core part of my work is helping customers deploy large and complex implementations on SharePoint. And I'm also Microsoft Certified Solution Master. With that, Pastor Luca.
Hi, everyone. My name is Luca Bandinelli. Actually, I think we are winning the context of the more complicated family names here in this session. Anyway, I am in Office 365 SharePoint Engineering. I'm part of the SharePoint Customer Advisory Team or Customer Experience Team in Redmond. And with us, we also have virtually Ranga from the Azure Customer Advisory Team in Redmond. It will be available through Yammer. So if you guys have some kind of a questions or things you want to discuss that we are not going to cover during the presentation, you go to Yammer, you make your question in Yammer, and Ranga from the Azure team will be able to cover the Azure part. Another disclaimer before we move forward. This is going to be kind of a complicated session in terms of demo and also in terms of timing. So if you guys have questions that you really, really, really want an answer in right now, please feel free to ask. But if you can wait until the end of the session, would be great. Both case, we are happy to do both kind of the things. So what we're going to discuss during these sessions, we are going to discuss the kind of approaches that you may have in building internet-facing sites and the kind of challenges and opportunities that Azure platform as an infrastructure as a service can give to you in order to achieve such kind of goals. And more in details, what we're going to cover in the session, especially with this configuration and in terms of Azure, is functionalities just like support for SQL Server Always On, the Azure Traffic Manager, how do we design the solution across multiple data centers that are distributed across multiple regions worldwide, and the hot standby configuration across two different data centers and two different farms for SharePoint solutions. As I said before, we are going to touch multiple points and we are going to go deep on some areas, but unfortunately, for sake of time, we are not going to be able to go as deep as we would like. So there are two other sessions that you may want to attend. One is around all the architectural aspects on SharePoint, on Azure IaaS. So what we do support, the kind of functionality that Azure brings that SharePoint can natively use. And there is also another session in terms of support for SQL Server on always-on capabilities. We're going to make some interesting announcements during the conference. And if you go to that session, you will see that announced in terms of better support of SQL always-on for both DR and HA scenarios. There is a slight timing problem, both sessions, same day, same time, so you guys pick and choose. So, agenda, what we are going to talk about that? We are going to talk about the problem, the business scenario, so the problem that we're going to solve or we want to solve with this kind of a solution. We are going to talk about the solution architecture, and hopefully we are going to be a little bit deep on this solution architecture design so that you can really understand the kind of challenges and opportunities that we had in building that kind of solution, which also cover as well as distribution and geo-replication and how this data can be synced across two different data centers. We will also provide information on how we did build both farms. So the kind of operations that we had to do for build the primary farm, the kind of operation that we had to build to do for build the disaster recovery or secondary farm, and the kind of information we had to do in order to keep the data starting syncing together. And we will also demo failover scenarios. We will also demo a temporary failover scenario, meaning that something is temporarily going wrong, but because of this solution, we cannot do something that we cannot be offline at all. And we will also demo permanent, so that one data center goes down, what do we do in order to permanently forward all the traffic on the DR farm? And at the end, we will also talk about consideration that we weren't able to discuss deeply during the presentation, but we will still go through them in order to focus some kind of other things you may want to consider when you build such kind of solution. So the problem space. We want to build an internet-facing site, which is highly customized on top of SharePoint that has some kind of a key requirement, just like it has to be always on. So we're talking about things just like BestBuy.com or Microsoft.com kind of solutions. We want to build that on SharePoint because SharePoint offers great functionalities in terms of publishing and in terms of content editing, but it has some kind of key requirements that SharePoint as an out-of-the-box solution on a single farm may not be able to serve. Just like super available, very minimal downtime, and no data loss at all. Other considerations that you want to, that you want to make when you want to build such kind of solution is that, okay, so I need high availability. Which kind of level of high availability do I need? Do I need high availability at software level, at network level, at hardware level? And depending on the kind of answer that you need, you may need to have different solutions. You also need to have some kind of solution in terms of patches. If you have a single SharePoint farm, when you patch that SharePoint farm, of course that farm has to be offline, and that's by design. So how do you mitigate such kind of design in order to make this kind of solution always on or this kind of solution always available? And a hint, of course, you build multiple farms, and we were going to talk about that later. You also want to be sure that in case of natural disasters, you are covered. So again, even if I have multiple data, multiple farms, but I only select a location or a single data center, if I have a natural disaster in that data center, I'm screwed basically, right? Because the data center goes down, no matter how many farms I had in that data center, I'm now losing my solution. So a solution here is that, yes, I can build multiple data centers on-prems and multiple locations, or I can rely on a cloud service just like Azure, but even there, remember that different cloud services have different SLA, and specifically for Azure, we have a 99.95 guaranteed SLA. If you need something more, you may want to do something different, and you may not want to rely on Azure. So solution that we are going to discuss today, maximize uptime solution with minimize return point of object and RTO, so RPO and RTO, distributed solution across multiple data centers that are in different locations in the world, and we are going to provide functionality that the cloud provider provides for us for auto-follower and cloud hosting. So why Azure? Well, Azure provides great functionality for infrastructure as a service and platform as a service solution. Of course, Office 365 is the place where you want to go for collaboration and exchange and document collaboration and social information, but there are scenarios just like internet-facing sites where Office 365 is not ready yet. So when you have to do such kind of functionalities and you want to reach the cloud for reducing your total cost of ownership and providing more benefits that the cloud can offer to you, this is why Azure can be a good choice for you. And this is why we're going to use Azure for such kind of solution. Azure also provides some kind of functionality that can be useful for you, just like ability to do provisioning very quickly and very easy, the ability to scale on demand as the Azure infrastructure, not as a SharePoint. So the Azure infrastructure is able to scale on demand, and you really pay for whatever you're using over there. It also provides support end-to-end. SharePoint solutions on top of Azure are supported by Microsoft end-to-end. Other cloud providers, they support that, but Microsoft doesn't support the solution itself. The data centers that also Azure provides to you are data centers that are distributed across the globe, and each of the data centers has SLA, service level agreement, backed very, very precisely. And it also provides some kind of specific features that we are going to use for this scenario, such as blob storage, data center transfers, ACLs on endpoints, which means that you are able to decide if for some networks you don't want to access the solution, you can do that. And you also support now, and we also support now in Azure, backup and restore through Azure Blob Storage, and of course the traffic management that we are going to cover. So very quickly on the solution architecture, and then I will let Sanjay continue this kind of conversation here. So here's a very high level picture of the solution. We have two different farms. One is in one data center in one Azure region. The other is another data center in another Azure region. There is a custom log shipping solution that we are going to describe later on the terms of why we did that and what that solution does that will keep the data in sync across the two different farms into the two different data centers. And then we have the traffic manager that will be able to seamlessly provide redirection across different farms when the user is going to access the solution from a single URL. And depending on the situation and the state of one farm on another, the traffic manager will be able to redirect the traffic of the user from one farm to another. And with that said, I'm leaving the word to Sanjay.
Thanks, Luca. So just Luca explained, we have a custom log shipping solution. So we will see why log shipping and why not always on async commit between the two farms. And we'll also see why custom log shipping, why not out of the box log shipping. So a little more details on the diagram. The two farms are configured in a hot standby DR configuration, and it's the internet scenario. And for internet scenario, we have covered two most important service application, which is search and MMS. Okay. That doesn't mean that it does not work for other service applications. However, we have just tested it for these two service applications. We have made sure what we are presenting here works. Then we are using Windows Azure Traffic Manager, and then we are using custom log shipping. So what will be log shipping? Basically, two key types of databases. One is content database, and one is management service database. And when we do a log shipping, we will use standby mode. By standby mode, we can use the database in read-only mode, and which is a core component of our solution. And in terms of search, we will be having two independent search services in each farm. So search in production will crawl the primary farm, and search in DR will crawl content DBs in DR farm, because DR farm is in read-only, we will be able to do that. When we do that, we actually hit some limitations, which we also need to consider that we will cover a little later. So as Luca said, there are a lot of benefits when we use Azure, but then we have some challenges when we implement such kind of solution in Azure. One of the challenges, virtual networks. Now, virtual network, you can think of something like virtual network boundary within which virtual machines can communicate with each other without opening external endpoints. Virtual networks in Azure, at this point of time, cannot span across data centers. They can be limited to only one data center. Now, because of that, we have some restrictions on how we can use other technologies that we use in on-premise. Before I get to those restrictions, I just want to mention here that this limitation in Azure is as of today. Okay? We already have this in our roadmap, and you will have virtual networks which can span across data centers in near future. Coming to the restrictions. So we cannot have single Active Directory span across two data centers, which is generally the case in on-premise scenario when we implement a DR solution. Because of that, each SharePoint farm need to be in a different domain, and there's no relationship between two domains. And SQL Server always on. We cannot use that to have SQL always on between primary farm and DR farm, because always on requires a single domain. Also, you cannot establish trust between two Active Directory domains over a secure channel. And because of that, we have to do some additional configurations that we will see. Out-of-box log shipping, again, it requires a domain. Okay. So because we do not have a domain, single domain across two, we will be using a custom log shipping solution. Having said that, so let's look at details of each and every component that we are seeing, starting with primary farm. At the outer boundary, we have boundary of a window Azure region or a data center. So everything is within that. Within that, we define affinity group. Now, affinity group is some container that which ensures that all your virtual machines and all your components are within close proximity to each other to reduce the impact of latency. And within affinity group, you will define a virtual network. Within virtual network, we deploy cloud services. At this point, think of cloud service as a logical container for your virtual machines. And within that, we have our virtual machines. If you see, we have a typical SharePoint topology here, front ends, app servers, domain controllers, DB servers. Now, each of these roles need to be locally highly available. to ensure that, we need to put each role in something called availability set. If you see, each of these are their own availability sets. Availability set is an Azure thing which ensures that all the VMs within that availability set do not go down at the same time. Though it can ensure that, but it cannot ensure that if one of that VM goes down, your clients will not get impacted. To ensure that, you need to have something additional. And for front-end servers, that one is Windows Azure Load Balancer. Now, Windows Azure Load Balancer can be defined on something called public IP. Azure supports two kinds of IPs. One is public IP and one is private IP. Private IP is something which is available within VNet, and public IP is something which can be exposed to internet. Now, and load balancer can be only defined or configured at a public IP level. And public IP can only be defined at a cloud service level, which means if you have two or three virtual machines in a cloud service, all of them will be using the same public IP. At app server levels, you don't need a load balancer because SharePoint manages its own load balancing for service applications. And for SQL Server, as we're showing, we're using always on. Now, if you see, there's a third VM that I'm showing there. And that VM is being used for node majority of always on. Now, in an on-premise scenario, generally for quorum majority, you use a file share. Okay? In Azure, concept of shared storage is not available. Hence, it's recommended to use a third VM for quorum majority. Now, this VM need not be a SQL machine. It can be a simple, small Windows machine. Now, always on, availability group have a listener IP. Till some time back, Azure did not support the listener IP. However, now it supports listener, and the way it supports is little different from on-premise scenario. It uses Azure Load Balancer for doing that. Because of that, it puts little more restrictions on how we use always on. One of that is all the client machines who connect to SQL Server, which could be our app servers, web servers, must be in a cloud service which is different from the cloud service where SQL Server is in. And the second limitation is because it's using public IP and you can have only one public IP at a cloud service level, so you can have only one listener IP for your SQL Server always on availability groups. Coming to, as we said, we are using custom log shipping solution, so we will have custom log backup jobs. And normally, if you see in on-premise scenario, log backups are taken on a file share. Again, as I said, shared storage concept is not available. So what we would be doing is we will be taking log backups directly to Azure Blob Storage. Now, SQL Server 2012 SP1CU2 has a new functionality which enables us to take backups directly to a blob, and that's what we'll be using. And these are more details on what we covered in previous diagram. We have covered most of these things. The only thing that I want to highlight is there are only two service applications configured in that. One is search and one is managed metadata.
Which doesn't mean that you can have more, right? But for this kind of solution, that's what we're going to use.
Sure. Coming to DR. DR farm also looks more or less similar to what we have in primary. However, some key differences. Let's cover that. Obviously, where we had backup jobs in primary, we have restore jobs in DR. And then content DB and MMS DBs, the DBs that we are log shipping, because they will be read-only in DR farm. And you cannot have always on for a read-only DB. For that reason, these two DBs will not be in always on. When we do a failover and we make DR farm as active or online, at that time, we will run scripts to add these two DBs into always on availability group. Now, generally, when you add a DB to always on, what you need to do is you need to take a backup of the DB and restore in secondary replica and then join them. Now, based on size of your databases, that can take some time. So for that reason, what we have is if you see, I'm showing two arrows for the custom log restore jobs. So what we are doing is, because we have a custom solution, we are restoring the DBs in both the instances, which means they are always synchronized to each other, the primary and secondary replica. So whenever I do a failover, I just need to join them in availability group. I would save the time required for backing up and restoring to the secondary replica. Again, details on previous diagram, few things that I want to highlight. The public URL in AMP settings for the DR farm would be same as what you do for primary farm, and that's important. In terms of search, again, it's created separately. It is configured to crawl read-only DBs. Important thing here is when you're running log restore jobs, the way it is configured is SQL Server will disconnect all other users when it is restoring the logs. Now, we do not want our crawler to get disconnected whenever restore is happening. For that reason, it's recommended that you schedule your crawl during a window when you're not doing log shipping.
Okay, so where we are now, we have our primary farm all configured, HA over there. We have secondary farm, HA ready. HA is not configured, but because we have this kind of a custom log shipping, we are restoring on two different locations that when we have to do HA, we will be ready to do that very quickly. We have custom log that is going to be shipped. We have search that is crawling on both farms to different shared service application. Let's now go a little bit more deeper on what the custom log shipping does.
Yeah.
So far, so good?
So
good.
So for custom log shipping, what we have is we will install custom SQL Server agent jobs in each farm. What it'll do is, first time when it runs, it will take full backup from primary and restore in DR. And subsequent times, it will take log backups and restore in DR farm. Now, important thing here is whenever it is taking log backups, it will add a sequence number to the log backups, and it will restore in exact same sequence. Another thing is we are using the new functionality, which is backup to URL and restore from URL commands from SQL Server, which helps us directly take a backup to a blob storage. Now, it supports both an HTTP as well as HTTPS endpoint. To ensure that your log backups are not over public internet, it's recommended you use HTTPS endpoint. Now, this is how the command looks like. If you see, the backup log command is almost similar to what you see normally. Only difference is instead of to disk, it is to URL. And the value of the URL is basically URL of the blob storage container that you have. And then you see there is another attribute in the with command, with credentials. Now, this is the credentials that you need to create using a TSQL command before you can execute this particular backup command. And to create that credentials, you will need the access key to your blob storage. And good news is you do not have to write whole of that solution from scratch. Azure CAT team has already released a sample tool which you can just install and start using this particular custom log shipping solution. And that particular solution is not only for SharePoint, you can use even for a SQL HADR. Okay, coming to additional configurations, we said we need to do some more additional configuration. Let's see what are those. Now, just be with me for a moment. As I said, there are two different domains, one in primary and one in DR. Okay? So when we are doing a log shipping from here to DR, in DR, the Active Directory is totally different. So the service pool accounts, the app pool accounts, all are different. So they will not be able to access the DBs which are log shipped. Now, because the DBs are in a read-only mode, you can't even update the DBs to add the accounts. So before you set up log shipping, you need to do one-time activity, which I'm going to explain. So first time, when you install the farm, by default, you will have, you know, let us say that there's a domain one in farm one, you will have Apple account, search account there, you will have some more accounts such as blob cache accounts, like blob and object cache accounts, like super user and super reader and some users also. So those accounts will be here. You need to take a full backup of that and restore in DR farm with recovery. Mean it will be a read-write database. And once it is there, these accounts would not work here because these accounts do not exist in this domain two, which is farm two. So you need to add the required accounts from domain two to this DB. And once you do that, what happens is you again need to take backup of this TB and restore it back to primary. Now, in primary, you have, in this DB now, you have accounts both from primary domain as well as dir domain. Obviously, dir domain accounts would not work here, but we are not bothered because primary farm is using primary accounts.
So, does it make sense why we're doing that? We are adding the system account of SharePoint on both domains. The two domains are network independent. There is no network trust. You cannot use one domain on both sides. And when you do that kind of information, that information is saved in the config database of that farm in SharePoint, which is fine. When we go back to the database on the other farm, those users become zombies. But again, when we log ship, these users get log shipped as well. So in case of disaster, we have this account being ready on the other farm. That's why we're doing that.
And with that, let's see how do we configure web applications in DR farm. So basically, we need to do that one-time procedure that I explained for content databases. The procedure is same. The only few things that I want to highlight, you do not need to add SQL accounts manually through Management Studio of SQL Server. When you attach content DB to the web application, SharePoint will automatically add the Apple account. And for search account and for object cache accounts, you can actually update the web application user policy and add those accounts. Another important thing is, as I said, in DR farm, content DB will not be using SQL listener. So it's recommended that you use an SQL alias, which is pointing to independent SQL instance and not the listener, and use that SQL alias as a database server name when you attach the DB. Once you are done with that and you have both the accounts in the database, you can go ahead and set up custom log shipping. Another important thing to note here is if you're creating new site collections will be there in content DB, but in DR farm, it will not be accessible because the list of site collections is there in config DB. So you need to refresh the config DB to ensure that those sites are available in DR. And for that, you can either attach detach content DB to the web application, or there is a PowerShell command which I put here, you can use that. So you might want to schedule this command nightly to ensure that your site collections are accessible in DR farm.
And by accessible, we mean not only accessible by the end user, but also accessible by the crawler so that the crawler can index the content over there.
And MMS is, again, almost same procedure for MMSDB. The only difference here is SharePoint will not add that account. So the account under which your MMS service is running, you need to make that account as a DB owner manually through Management Studio. And after that, you simply set up that. And with that, there's some additional things that we need to consider for search. Let Luca cover that.
Right, so search. So why we're not using log shipping for search as well? Well, search doesn't use database only, right? The index lives in the file system, and this information, just like configuration and other things, lives in the databases. So really, we cannot rely on log shipping. And the only way to have a full fidelity set of information that can be transferred from one farm to another is by using a search sharded service application backup and restore. So when you do that, you are able to get everything in terms of security configuration, search configuration from both the shared service application and the site collection, because in 2013, you can also change some kind of configuration settings at site collection level. Also, the index itself, and of course, all the other information, just like analytics, which is a very important piece of information in Search 2013. That may take time. Although search is super fast in backup and restoring data, even huge amount of data, it still takes some time. And depending on the recovery time of object and recovery point object, the time required for backing up, transfer data, and restore data might not satisfy your service level agreement. So the alternative here could be, which is what we are doing here, to have a separate shared service application in the separate farm, which has search and it's crawling the databases in read-only, which is giving you the content in almost real time, but you are losing search configuration and you're losing analytics. And in some scenarios, losing analytics might not be good, because if you have a site just like, I don't know, bestbuy.com, which is completely search-driven, analytics is a very important piece of that solution. One thing that you may want to do is to have a combination of both. So you can Do backup and restore of your search settings and clearly state in your service level agreement that the recovery point of object for the full search end-to-end will be once a day, once a week, depending on how much time you're doing for your backup and restore for the search service application, and still having the read-only farm crawling by the local search service application for catching the latest data. In that way, you are able to mitigate some of the time required for the full fidelity backup and restore for search.
Okay. So it's time for demo. So let me show you.
Switch the machine.
Yes. So how does, so we have farm configured, and how does the farm looks like? How does the log shipping looks like? So what you see in my machine is all the virtual machines in my Azure management portal. If you see, there are machines starting with name SPC1. All these are in my primary farm, which is in the East US region, if you see here. And then all the VMs down, which are starting with SPC2, they are my DR farm, and they are in West Europe region. Let me show you this farm. So if I go to the farm, if you see, this is my primary farm, and it's configured for a listener. I have two apps, two webs, which are configured. And let me show you the website that I'm going to show today. So this is a typical publishing out-of-box portal available here, which we'll be using for log shipping. If you see the URL, URL is something called spc.trafficmanager.net. Now, this can be actually mapped to some domain like contoso.com. Now, this URL is actually URL of Traffic Manager, and which is pointing to the cloud service of my primary farm. But because we've configured through that, so it is right now going there. I've just put an image there. Image is showing that this farm is SPC1, and there is a web server 2, which is where this page is coming from. If I have to see DR farm at this point of time, I have to go directly to the URL. If you see, the URL is SPC22CSWeb, which is a basically URL of my cloud service in the DR farm. If you notice, there is a red notification on the top, which is saying the site is read-only, because right now log shipping is happening. So let me do this thing. Let me actually go and create a page here. Okay. So let's say SPC demo. Okay, let me put something here. Let me publish. So if you see, there's a page, and if you see on top, as well as on left-hand side, SPC demo is part of navigation. And now I'm using managed navigation here, and you can see that even a managed metadata service is also being used here. So we have this page created here. In production environment, what will happen is your custom log shipping solution would be working and scheduled. It will continuously go and restore these things in DR. But for the demo purpose, I have not scheduled it. What I will do is I will go to my SQL server in primary farm, and I will actually run those jobs. Now, just to show you here, this is my SQL server of primary farm. If you see on right-hand side, my SQL, it's always on configured here. SQL 1 is primary, SQL 2 is secondary, and all the DBs are in synchronized state. And these are the jobs which got created using that tool, that custom log shipping tool that are there. So there is one job for content DB and one job for MMS DB. So I simply run them. And obviously, you will not run this in production because these will be scheduled. So both of these jobs are success. What they're actually doing is they're actually taking backup of logs and going to blob storage. If you see right now, there are six, and if I refresh, there are six files there. If I refresh my blob storage, there are four now. This is the new file which got created here. So now, let me go to my DR farm. In DR farm, let me go to my SQL server. Again, if you see, the MMS DB and WSS DB, content DB, are in standby mode. So they're in read-only mode. And I have SQL agent's job here also. The difference is it's used the word called destination here because they're destination jobs. They'll be restoring. So let me run both the jobs here also. let this job run. So both the jobs are success. So if I go to my site now, if I go to my secondary site, no, this is my dear site now, and if I refresh my page, if you see, the SPC demo page has come here. If I go to SPC demo, so MMS has also come here, and my page is also here. That's how log shipping is there. And just to ensure that search also works, what we will do is we will go to our second.
Come on, you guys excited? Come in.
Thank you. Just to ensure that, show you that search also works, what we will do is I will just start an incremental crawl here so that next time when we come, we go back. So with that, I'll get back to my demo.
Now you have to switch over there.
Yeah.
So I want to be clear on one thing, though. This is not a solution where you have two different data centers serving the same solution at the same time. We are doing that only for the purpose of the demo. This is not an active-active solution. This is an active-passive solution. Your user will always go to one data center, one farm per time. This is only to show you that the log shipping works and in real time, but there are a gazillion of other things, just like the way SharePoint caching information at both services level and pages level, that we are not covering here. And by the way, that's why this solution, again, is not designed to be an active-active solution across multiple data centers. Okay? Good.
Thank you. Coming to failovers.
Setting up expectations here.
So coming to failovers, let's see how failovers work. So before we see failovers, one major component that helps us to enable, do a failover is Azure Traffic Manager. So it's important we understand that how does it work. So Azure Traffic Manager, it's a PaaS service available in Azure. It acts like a DNS resolver. It can resolve the URL of your company domain to an IP of a cloud service on farm is hosted. So let's see how it works. Let us say you have a company domain URL like www.contoso.com. Users goes to browser and goes to that site. The client machine will go to the internet domain servers and try to resolve that IP. Now, internet domain server will, in that URL of www.contoso.com is mapped to a traffic manager domain such as contoso.trafficmanager.net using a CNAME alias. Now, when it comes to traffic manager domain is part of a traffic manager profile. Now, traffic manager profile could be of three types. It could be round robin, it could be performance, it could be failover. Based on the configured profile, it can serve back the name as well as IP address of the appropriate cloud service. And once user gets the IP of the cloud service, it can directly make requests to the cloud service. How do we use it? Okay, so for failover, we use Traffic Manager and we use a custom job which will be running in both the farms. Now, we use Traffic Manager in a failover mode. What means is that if there are multiple endpoints which are configured in Traffic Manager, the request will always go to primary endpoint till primary is available. Only in a situation when primary is not available, it will go to the secondary. The way it is done, you actually define multiple endpoints in an ordered list there, and the top one is considered as primary. In the background, Traffic Manager will keep checking which service is online and which service is not online. Then, what happens, we need a custom job, because Traffic Manager does not notify you that I have started routing traffic from one place to the other place. So this custom job will continuously keep polling the Traffic Manager and will see if it has moved. If it sees that it has moved to a dear farm, it can send alerts as well as it can take appropriate actions based on the failover type that we have. Let's see that. So let's see temporary failover. Now, by temporary failover, we mean that your site might have gone down for some time, maybe for a transient network disconnection. Now, just for that, you may not want to do a cutover of the whole SQL over log shipping solution because it's complex and it takes time. So what do you do is you provide your site as a read-only to users. So that's what we are calling as a temporary failover. Let's see how it works. So what I've done is the steps are mentioned on the left-hand side, and I will show you each of that step in the animation on the right-hand side. Step one, your farm goes down. Okay? As soon as farm goes down, traffic manager detects that this farm is down. And what it does is it starts routing traffic from primary to DR. Now, because this DR site is read-only, so visitors see this site, access the site as a read-only. Now, if because we are covering internet site, internet's anonymous sites are normally read-only. And in those pages which are read-only, users would not even make, will be able to make whether you are on a failover site or on a primary site. And then what custom job does is custom job detects that traffic manager has moved, and it will pause the restore jobs. Now, it's important to pause because I said whenever we do a restore, it disconnects all other users. Now, when visitors are coming to DR farm, we do not want those users to get disconnected. So it's important to pause this. And with that, I will have a demo of my traffic manager and failover, temporary failover. So let me show you how is traffic manager configured. So this is my Azure traffic manager. This is the profile that I'm using, okay? And if you see, there are two endpoints configured here. One is pointing to my cloud service of SPC1, which is my primary farm, and another one is pointing to cloud service of my SPC2 farm. And I can also check if I do a NS lookup query right now. If you see this, NS lookup to the spc.trafficmanager.net is returning me URL of SPC1, which is my cloud service 1. And this is how it works. Now, the way it is done is, if I go to this, okay. Now, one point that I've not covered is there is a DNS of 30 seconds which I've scheduled. Now, like any other DNS query, traffic manager will also have a TTL and DNS will be cached. By default, the value is 300 seconds. Now, think of a scenario that one user went to traffic manager, got the IP address of farm 1, and at minute 0, and let us say at minute 1, the site goes down, and traffic manager starts routing traffic to farm 2. Because the default TTL is 300 seconds, which is 5 minutes, for next 4 minutes, that user will not go to traffic manager. It will keep going to farm 1. So that user will actually get 503 or 404, what is available. So that's important that you plan how much is your TTL. Minimum could be 30 seconds. Now, how does traffic manager knows that you, whether your site is up or not? Now, for this, it basically uses a probe, and probe could be any simple file. For example, if you see that, I've put a probe.png image in my site, which it continuously do. So if I show you here, this is the image which is right now available on that, and it basically pings that. To simulate the failover, we can do shutdown, but that takes time. So what let me do is, let me remove this image, and traffic manager will identify that. So what I do is, I have two web servers. Let me go to web one, and instead of deleting, I'll simply rename this to a different. I go to web two. Two here, and let me see, go to browser, if let me see if let me do a refresh. So this is getting 404, and if I go to my NS lookup now, you see it's still pointing to SPC1 because traffic manager takes about 90 seconds to detect if a farm has gone down or not, because sometime it may not get a request, so it doesn't do that. So it will do a 3 pings to the probe in 30 seconds interval to ensure that this is going. So while those 90 second passes, I just wanted to go back to our DR site, and I wanted to show you in search if this page, which is new page, is coming in search, because hopefully the crawl would have happened by now. And if you see this, SPVs are, this is my page. No, this is not the page. This is my page, which is there, and this page is there in search. So it would have, search is also working in NDR. And let's see if my traffic manager has moved. It's still not moved. It's taking some time. While it moves to this thing, we'll switch back to the presentation and we'll come back to this. Now, permanent failover. This is the time when you figured out that temporary failover, whatever is acceptable time to your customer, it could be 2 hours, it could be 4 hours, when your site is read-only, the form has not come up. Okay, so you need to make the actual cutover, which is you need to make the DR form online. Okay? So you need to make that decision. It's important to know that when you make the decision, there could be some amount of service disruption when you do the actual cutover, and there could be possibility of data loss also. So as a step one, you decide, yeah, I will go and do a permanent failover, and I can incur those things. So then in step two, what you need to do is you need to bring the databases in DR farm online, and it has to be done in a proper sequence. Okay. So what you do first is you try to take tail log backups of primary database. Primary database might be available or it might not be available. So if it is not available and you are not able to take tail log backups, that means you will incur some amount of data loss. Then, if you remember, the jobs were, resource jobs were paused, okay? There, in last 2 hours or 4 hours, some logs would have collected in DR farm. You need to resume those jobs so that all the pending logs which were there can be applied to this thing so that this database of secondary or a DR farm is up to same level as primary. And once you do that, if you see the MMSDB and content DBs were not part of availability group. And this is the time when we actually bring them and put it in availability group. Once you have done that with database, the next step is to do the SharePoint configurations. Now, as we said, we are using SQL alias, which was configured to point to a particular instance, but now because those DBs are in availability group, you can go and change the SQL alias of your servers to point to the listener IP here. Now, you don't have to do that manually. You can simply write a remote PowerShell command which can do on all the things. A SQL alias is nothing but a registry entry. Site becomes read-write, so users will be able to use full functionality of that. In terms of search, you can actually take a decision based on what Luca explained earlier. If you have time, you know, you can actually take a backup and restore at that time so that you get all the analytics, all the configuration of search. But if you don't have time, you can continue with search as it is. You will not have analytics, but you will have the content freshness immediately. And then, this is a very important thing not to forget. The traffic manager at this point is still pointing to farm one. So as soon as farm one comes online, it will start directing the traffic to that. And now we don't want that because now our farm two is a primary farm. So you need to go back to traffic manager and configure the farm two as a primary and not the farm one. So with that, let's have a demo of both of these. So let's see first, we left it here. Our traffic manager was still pointing to, and now if you see, the traffic manager has started pointing to SPC 2.2, which means it has moved. If I go to my traffic manager, I just wanted to show you, if I show you, go to the endpoints, it is showing the primary endpoint is in degraded status, and that's why it is now going to the DR site. And now, if I go here to this site, it will not be read-only. But because browser also does a DNS cache, so I'll just close this browser, come back to this again. Okay, and I will do a flush DNS. I will start the browser again. Now, if I go to my same URL, which is spc.trafficmanager.net, you see it is now pointing to read-only site, because you see notification image is not showing because it's coming from cache. If I do a control F5, it will show you that it's actually coming from SPC2 farm. So right now, same domain name, SPC.TrafficManager, which was pointing earlier to your primary farm, is now pointing to DR farm without us doing anything. I mean, Traffic Manager did that stuff. Now, this was about temporary failover. Now, in permanent failover, now you want to, this site is right now read-only. We want to make it live. So what we need to do is, we need to bring the databases online. I go to my DR farm. I go to my SQL 1. If you see, these databases are right now in a read-only state. So what I need to do is, I need to bring them to read-write stage. So I assume that I have done that steps, which is basically taking a tail log backup from primary and resuming all the pending logs. So I'm done with that, and now I'm just getting them to recovery. So I have some commands already to make sure that that happens. So I basically run those commands. And once I run those commands, my DBs here will be in, so let it, it's taking some time to do that. Okay, any good jokes?
Here we go. Sorry, say it again. Absolutely.
Exactly.
So and the question was, when you do that, don't you also lose some kind of connection to the SharePoint has to the database? And the answer is yes.
And that's why we said it's important that you plan that whenever you do a permanent failover, there is some amount of service disruption. There's a way that you can actually reduce even impact of that, which Luca will cover in a moment. Okay. If I refresh now, if you see my DBs are online. So right now the DBs are in one. So I need to make them part of my availability group. And the way I do it is, I will just show you. In production, you will not do this manually. You will have scripts doing all this. And so if you see my MMS DBs are not part of it. So I will say add database.
So basically what we are doing right now is that we are making the new primary farm. We are building HA on the new primary farm. Remember what we said at the beginning was that HA is not configured, but is ready to be configured, and that what we are doing right now, we are configuring HA on what is becoming now the new primary farm, which was the original DR farm.
And that's just a point, that's only for MMS DB and the content DB. All other DBs like search DB, config DB are already in HA. Yeah. If you can see, they're already. And I just select MMS and content DB and go and add them to my farm. Now, here I will be doing a full backup, but as I said, if you're running the jobs in both the SQL servers, you can simply do a join at that point of time. I connect to my secondary replica. I'm connected.
So the question is that, can you only have one listener? In this kind of solution, we only have one listener. And remember, because it was on Azure, it's a different version of the listener that you have on-prem, is the way that we do that in Azure for always on.
Well, and you have one listener, but you can have multiple availability groups. And actually, if you want to use multiple availability groups, you can use listener for one. And for others, SharePoint supports mirroring connection strings. You can actually use that, and that also work. Okay, let me say finish. So these databases are now live. They are in availability group. They will be in availability group in a moment, so let's wait for that. Yeah, working on it. Okay, that's done, and let me now go to my site here. And let me do a control F5. So read-only notification should have gone by now. And it's gone. So I can actually log in and create and page. So it's a full permanent failover that. Thanks. With that, we'll move back to presentation for the final part.
Okay, so we have seen a couple of things, but we didn't see a lot of things, right? So let's try to figure out what of the things that we didn't cover over here and talk a little bit about these kind of cases that might be edge cases, might not be edge cases. So let's take this last demo scenario here. We had to permanently fail over on the DR farm. The DR farm now became the primary. The old primary is gone, and we are without a DR. So how do we rebuild DR right now, right? And a way to do that is basically you do the same kind of preparation steps that you did before for building a new DR. You do backup and restore. When the new farm goes available, you basically restore all the data over there, and you promote the old primary farm as the new DR farm. If that farm is gone, natural disaster scenario, you build another farm in another data center in another region, and you do the same steps in order to build a new DR farm. So that would be one way to do this kind
of
things.
So when you install the log shipping solution, which I showed you, right now it had only source jobs in primary and destination jobs in DR. But to enable that, you will actually have both the jobs in both the farms. The only thing you need to plan is when to run that job. So for a reversing role, you will be using source jobs of the DR.
The other scenario here is the patching. So just like we were talking about before, when you have to patch SharePoint, especially if you're installing a service pack, which is kind of a bit taking some time, and you have a huge farm and you have several web front ends and also several application servers in your farm, it might take a while. And during the entire process, you may have some kind, especially when you do the content database upgrade, so you have the upgrade steps in the database itself, both content and service as a matter of fact. The farm cannot be up. The farm has to be down because you're changing the data schema potentially and all the other stuff within the database. So how do you do that? A way to do that could be to do a swing. So basically, you do a temporary failover on the other farm while you're patching the primary farm. And then when you're done with that, you are moving the traffic back to the primary farm that now has the new bits, and you're patching the secondary farm. Of course, that depends with a lot of stuff. It depends on how much content is changing while the patch is happening. It depends how much service level agreement for new, for fresh content you have. So it really depends on the scenario. If you think about a site like an internet site that changes only once a day or once every week, doing a swing could be a good idea. But if you have a site that changes every 5 minutes because, as an example, you are in the middle of a campaign and you have to change pages, content very, very often, or the nature of the site is CNN.com, and when there is a breaking news, the site changes very often, maybe that kind of solution doesn't work for you and you may have to think about something different. But again, the point here is that, and something different might be something that you can use like a content delivery network to cache some of the kind of content while the patch is happening. And about content delivery network can all the solutions can also be used for other scenarios. So we started the presentation by saying almost zero downtime. Reality, though, is that we saw that scenarios just like traffic manager and DNS lookup is taking a while to refresh at different level of the network stack, being on the local client as well as on the DNS name registration. So you may want to put a content delivery network in the middle that is caching your pages, and you can have the clients around the world pointing to the content delivery network by default. And then if you do that, you have a new extra layer of caching that you're putting that will help you in such kind of situation, just like a temporary failover or a permanent failover where you have to ship new logs and new data across two different farms and promote the new primary farm as was the old DR farm. Again, that might be okay and can be useful for scenarios they don't have a lot of content changes during different days and different hours, just like a site, again, that changes every day or few times a day. If you have very fresh sites and if your service level agreement of content freshness has to be minutes or hours and not multiple hours or days, the content delivery network solution might not be useful for you because if the farms goes down, you may not have such kind of luxury in terms of waiting so much time while the other farm comes up. And then you have to think about other solutions that we're not going to cover in this kind of presentation. At last, one of the other things that you may want to say is that what happens if the disaster is really a disaster and everything goes down, right? So there might be solutions that they, where you need to plan about that. I mean, you can have your internet facing site that is really your business and your company really rely on that. And there are, even if it's a kind of a paranoid mode, paranoid may happen and you may not have the luxury not to think about that. So one thing to, they may want to do in such kind of situation is that you may want to have another farm that might have some kind of old static content that you refresh also once a day or even once a week. And in case of kind of disaster like that, you offer temporary functionalities and not full functionalities on this kind of a static farm while you are rebuilding your solution. And again, we are talking about super paranoid situations here, but I mean, things may happen, right? So and that's another kind of solution that you may want to think about.
And the third thing, the third site that we are talking to, it need not be a full-fledged farm. It could be a static site with some pages. Only requirement is it has to be cloud service because Traffic Manager requires a cloud service. So it, you will choose a different region of Azure. But if you're using some different Traffic Manager, such as Akamai Traffic Manager, it has capability to route the traffic to any place. It doesn't have the restriction of cloud service. So it offers something like net storage, which you can actually use to keep your static pages, and then you can have even third site.
And again, it really depends on the kind of solution and business requirements that you have. So with that, what we talked about during this session was geo-distributed solution using Azure for such kind of solution as an infrastructure as a service, functionality that Azure provides for such kind of solution, just like Traffic Manager, how to configure that, and we also demoed some kind of functionalities that we had to build on top, just like custom log shipping and configuration for Traffic Manager, and we also demoed the permanent and temporary failover. A little bit of other references, if you want to get some kind of more information also outside from the conference venue, there are some kind of links that you can reach on internet and MSDN and TechNet. With that said, thank you very much for your time, and if you have questions, please go to the mic.
So we have some time for questions here, and even after that, as you know, you are all part of Yammer, so if there's any questions specific to log shipping, Ranga is there. We will be there in Yammer responding to you.
And the reason why we are asking you to go to the mic is because we are recording the questions and answers as well, so that's the only reason why.
Thank you for the informative session. I have a question about your solution.
Sorry, can you pop up the volume of the mic, please? Thank you.
All right, thank you for the session. It's very informative. I have a question about why you chose Azure IaaS in the first place as opposed to doing, let's say, a public site in Office 365. I can take guesses, but I'd rather hear from you guys. What were some of the things on this particular project?
As I said at the beginning, Office 365 is a great platform and actually is the primary platform that you can use for collaboration and even some kind of solution on internet-facing site. And as a matter of fact, every tenancy has one internet-facing site that allows anonymous activity. There are features that we provide in SharePoint that are not yet available there, one of them being the content by search. So you cannot use content by search on internet-facing site for now. So if your solution required things just like variation, content by search, translation, the translation service connectivity, or even content deployment, or index cross-site index publishing, these kind of functionalities are not yet available on the internet-facing site collection that we give on the every tenancy in Office 365, and that's why you may want to consider other solutions.
Thank you.
Thank you for the session. My question is the log shipping you showed us, like creating a page from primary, it goes to DR. Does it work in solution-wise as well, or just a pure SharePoint? Things like pages, lists, document libraries. Simply saying that if I create a custom solution on my primary, will it take the same thing on the DR as well?
It's a purely a SQL level solution. It is not specific to SharePoint, and it is released by the Azure CAT team, which can be used in any other solution. The other thing I wanted to mention here is Here we are using blob storage, but if you want, if you had on SQL Server 2008, where you cannot, you do not have that feature to take backups directly to blob, it also has a feature which can first take a local backup, then transfer over blob and restore, so it works both ways.
So you are saying that if I deploy a solution in my production, it will go to the DR2?
If you are, what we are saying here is that the solution we describe it in terms of SQL Azure and the custom log shipping solution has nothing to do with SharePoint. If you have your custom application that is using your custom databases, you absolutely can use the same solution for doing the same thing.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks a lot for the session today.
Thank you for coming.
You mentioned at the beginning that the ability for virtual network to span multiple data centers in Azure is on the roadmap. Any ETA on that?
He's asking about the virtual network being able to expanding multiple regions in Azure.
So as of today, it's not available, but it's there in the roadmap. It's going to come.
He's asking, do we have any ETA? Do we have anything we can share about?
As of now, we don't have ETA.
But that's a great question because the Azure guy is on Yammer, so if you may want to ask them, that guy will be able to answer to you with more details if necessary.
Hey, thanks for the great session. I had a question. So you showed log shipping as one of the ways to manage the DR. The problem I have is my database team back in the company says we cannot support your log shipping. What are the other options that I have to maintain the DR and make sure that it's a hot standby?
So I'm not sure. Okay, first thing is we need to check why not log shipping. But at this point, as I said, we had option like always on, which is not supported. The other option that you have is using mirroring, again, using certificates. If you don't use certificates, you need a domain controller. But without domain controller, you can use certificates. But that's a deprecated technology.
I'm not on Azure. My question is more towards the various way how we can maintain DR outside of,
okay, so
we have our own data
you
centers.
Are on SharePoint on-prem.
Yes.
And you want to say, what kind of solution do I have for DR?
Yes.
Go to Neil's session that
on
is
Thursday.
Going to happen about that, and we will talk about the additional support that we are going to announce for Always On.
What
just
time
tell
is
you that option. There
was the one that I showed in slide number 3 is
9 o'clock tomorrow, Thursday?
No,
yes.
On Thursday, I don't remember the time.
9 o'clock, you're correct.
The other option there that we will be explaining there is to use Always On
for DR.
For the DR.
Okay,
between primary to DR.
That needs SQL Server 2012.
That is requires exactly because that's the only version that that supports Always On.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome approach, you guys. I've played with this stuff a lot myself. Okay, so first thing you said is we don't have the ability to synchronize AD across regions. Understood. What about SharePoint from the SharePoint client accounts that use AD for authentication? How would you expand that so that it was?
That's a very good question. Thanks for asking that.
So before we're going to answer that, and that's the reason why the solution we described today was internet-facing site anonymous access.
Okay, but there's, okay, that's fine. That's good.
But yes, it's a good question.
Yeah. I understand that then.
You still need authors, right? Though the site is anonymous, but you still need authors who need to authenticate and all. So you have a couple of options. One is you can actually use an ADFS from your corporate domain, configure for both the farms, so it is a single ADFS, a single Active Directory for using a SSO. Other option is you can use FPA, and the membership provider that you use, you actually do a log shipping of that, so you use exactly the same. So you have those two options.
So move about from Windows, use ADFS, use Federation across your domain controllers.
Understand.
Or FPA.
Got it. There was something else, and I can't remember it now.
Come on.
Oh,
yeah.
The amount of time that you have. If I have a large amount of data, let's say I have a 2-terabyte database, and so the initial setup of this is you start with it, replicate, you do a backup and restore at the other destination, how the hell do you get it over there? And then secondly, now you do your backup and restore and link in your ADs on that side so that it can communicate with it. Then you got to do a backup and restore and do it back over on the other side. My 2-terabyte databases are taking 8 hours just to do a full backup.
Yep. So
I'll just tell you a few tests that we have done. So between Azure networks, we use something called Flat Network. It's pretty fast. In the test that we did, 127 GB VHD took about 10-12 minutes to transfer. So that's a test which we've done. There is a blob is the block available in terms of latency between two, and what is the bandwidth? We have a pretty high bandwidth. So obviously, if it's petabytes or terabytes, it will take time. But I'm just saying it's fast.
You end up using FedEx.
Yeah. Or okay. You plan for doing that before your content starts
using. And this is the same problem, though, going on fail back. Your primary DR site now is the primary site now to reset all this back up and get everything started again back to your original primary site. You have to back up all the databases, start your logging process in preparation, ship that over, do a restore now at the other site, then start the log restores and go from there to go back to do a failback.
You're correct.
You are right. If you could not take the tail log backup, we said,
Once you've failed over, though, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, no, but you can start logging the new content that you're changing and then only ship the log, because if you fail over but the data is still there, you don't have to do a full backup and restore, right?
So there's a possibility.
I'll
tell you the possibility. For example, this data center, let us say it lost only the public internet connectivity, but the VPN to your on-premise site is still available. So maybe the database is available and you can take tail log backup. It's possible. In that scenario, you would have taken tail log backups, and in that case, you don't have to do the full backup restore. You can simply do a log backup restore. But yes, if your database is not available on primary, you can't take tail log backups. You're right.
Right. So the tail log backup being applied to the live one, and then start doing once you've rolled it into the live online, full online mode, start doing that and run the tail log backup on it when you're ready to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And how do you mitigate that? On the local farm, you do local backups. On the primary farm.
Uh-huh.
On top of what we showed today, you also do local backups, database backups.
Oh yeah.
And you store there somewhere else.
Right.
So that.
Right.
You minimize the transfer time, if the database completely goes down. Because you restore what you backed up before, and then you can.
That was very interesting. I recognize it was a SQL solution. It's great.
Thank you.
I was just wondering, what were the limitations of Azure that was preventing you from doing like a site-to-site VPN or something like that?
Sorry, what are the limitations of what?
What were the limitations with the Azure setup that were preventing a site-to-site VPN, to join your AD domains?
Site-to-site VPN is available between your on-premise site and one of the Azure data centers. But between two Azure data centers, it is not available. And though it's possible to have one on-premise site connected to two Azure data centers, but that is not supported.
It's not currently supported.
Okay.
So you couldn't have just run two separate VMs in the two different regions and actually done a site-to-site between the VMs?
That's not something that...
It's not supported.
It's not supported.
Exactly. It's not something that the Azure guys are... feel confident to support right now without additional testings. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hey guys, one more. I was just waiting to get up there.
Okay. Sure.
Thank you.
So realistically, in like a 25 terabyte, maybe 50 terabyte farm, 700, 800 content databases, what kind of RPO, RTO are you guys thinking this solution offers?
Okay, so first question that I will ask, is it an internet site? I don't think for an internet site you will have that kind of database, right?
Well, it's a shared, every site is an internet site, but it's primarily used as SharePoint team sites.
Exactly, so that's why this solution is primarily oriented to that. Obviously, when you have that much database, the solution can work, but the RPO and RTO will be quite large, so we have a...
So, but what kind of log shipping cycles, those kinds of things, are you looking at? We're doing 15-minute... We're doing this on-prem, almost exactly what you've been doing. We did go to remote blob storage to reduce the size of the log ship, the SQL databases that have to be log shipped. So there's a lot less log shipping activity.
Mm-hmm.
We use... Windows DFS to move the blobs, remote blobs.
So we
synchronize all that stuff. But one of our problems is that with that many databases, running a 15-minute cycle on refreshes, doing a log ship every 15 minutes on 750 databases, the disconnects and the reconnects going from single user down to single user, doing the restoration.
It takes more than 15 minutes.
Well, no.
Actually, interesting.
It drives the servers absolutely nuts. It causes CPU spikes on the web front ends that take them to over, that just saturate them.
Well, it takes.
When they're crawling. When
they're crawling. On the DR farm, though. And you're restoring the logs to the local storage, or? Sorry, you said it drives the WFE crazy on the DR farm, because you have to do that on the DR farm where you disconnect
and reconnect. Well, there's disconnects and reconnects of databases occurring every 30 seconds.
Again,
every
6 seconds. The DR farm.
On the DR farm.
Which nobody is using.
Well, in our case, we are, but that's a whole different question. That's a whole different question.
Busted.
No, because the 100% CPU goes on permanently. Once you get to enough content databases constantly being reattached, you get to a point where you never recover.
My question here is, why there are, if the solution is like that, which again is different than what we show it today, because the business requirement is different only because of that.
Yeah.
Why you are having the farm using those databases?
Oh, we're not. Let's just say we're not. Even if you have enough restoration jobs running on an unused farm, you will crash the farm.
So again, if the server are down, the WFE cannot go 100% CPU. So that's what I'm trying to understand from you. Sorry about
well,
that.
Well, they're sitting at 100% CPU. They never get. You get into a position where you just back up the transaction log jobs and you never get them restored.
Again, I think the SQL Server is 100% CPU then, not the WFE.
No. It's the SharePoint farm that has the trouble. SQL is happy.
Disconnect the SharePoint farm, the servers from the farm.
Well, you can disconnect the content databases completely from SharePoint.
Yes.
And then the SQL log shipping works fine, but you can't do the search crawling.
And you can't crawl.
No. So, So you need to do that as well. And do you have downtime? Do you have something just like nightly downtime where you don't have such kind of thing? Is it a 24-hour solution? I'm asking. I really don't know about that.
Yeah. So
I think time is over. You can come if you have a question. Maybe we can come here and we can